Well, congregation, let's turn in our copies of God's Word to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin looking at verses 39. Luke chapter 2, verses 39 through 52. This is found in your Bibles, in the Pew Bibles, in page 1021. 1021 in the copies there in the pew with you. Thus far in Luke's gospel, we have heard many testimonies about Jesus, from angels, from Mary and Zechariah, from Simeon and Anna. But this is the first passage in which Jesus speaks for himself. He does so as a preteen. And so here now as I read, Luke chapter 2, verses 39 through 52. This is the word of our God, and let us hear him. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray for his blessing upon its preaching and hearing. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, would you give us eyes to see? Would you give us ears to hear? Lord, would you break up stony hearts? Lord, do that work which you alone do by your Spirit. Lord, we are needful of your presence, your act, your work among your people. Lord, do this in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Would you want Jesus in your household? If you are a father or a mother, would you like Jesus as your son? If you are a child, would you like him as your elder brother? Now, I think as I ask the question, I think we as Christians can presume to say, of course, Jesus is perfect. He's God. We want to have him near. Who doesn't want a perfect child or a perfect brother? And yet here we have a story of Jesus' earthly family. And we grow to know him, and I suspect we may be surprised by what we learn of him. Friends, here we have a passage that calls us to grow. We need to increase in wisdom and understanding of Jesus. So that's a call to you this morning. Would you increase in wisdom and understanding of Jesus? We see first that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. The story that I've read to you is bookended. Verses 39 and 40 are paralleled in verses 51 to 52. In both these bookends, the family returns to Jerusalem, to Nazareth. Both mention that Jesus grew or increased. Both mention the favor of God, likely an allusion to the book of Proverbs. Now, having mentioned that these verses serve as bookends, I want you to see that there are precious things in even these bookends that teach about Jesus our Lord. Specifically, they teach that Jesus was truly human with a real human mind. Now, that may seem obvious to us, given the place in church history we find ourselves in. We confess Jesus to be fully God and fully man. We stand on the historic Christian creeds. And yet this very fact is something that the early church had to wrestle with. Jesus, a human mind? In the early centuries, there was a heresy that asserted that Jesus had a human body, but that his mind was divine. That, though, would be a different Jesus than the one that Luke writes of here. Luke, under the Spirit's inspiration, wrote of Jesus that we might have certainty. He interviewed the sources. He collected the material. He wrote this down for us. And he wrote, verse 40, that Jesus grew and became strong. So yes, he did have a human body, which grows. He did have muscles, which needed to be developed and coordinated, and he needed to grow in his stamina. Add the parallel in verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom as well, wisdom and stature. Jesus had a wisdom that could grow. And that means that as a baby, he didn't have all the wisdom that he would have later, at least as regards his humanity. This means that Jesus learned. Compare Hebrews 5:8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Now let's remind ourselves, God is a perfect spirit. God is unchanging. He can neither learn nor can he forget. God knows all things. He doesn't change, even in his knowledge. He has perfect wisdom from beginning to end. God knows all and is infinitely perfect in wisdom. And so these verses are not referring to Jesus' divinity, but to his humanity. That is, Jesus as a man had to learn. Jesus had to study. Jesus had to pay attention. He had to do as Proverbs 2 says, make his ear attentive. He had to, as other Proverbs tell him, to not pay attention to attractive people of the opposite gender. He had to incline his heart and incline his ear to understanding. Now, children, young people, I think this would be especially precious to you. And that's because learning is hard. Disciplining your mind is difficult. Much study is a weariness of the flesh. And Jesus knew that personally. He knew that as a young person. He was once a child. He had to work hard to learn. Jesus understood what it was like to get a headache, I believe. He knew what it was like to grow tired after a lot of mental effort. And children, do you find that you're at a place in life where there's a lot of things that you're constantly realizing you don't know? You're full of ignorance, and sometimes your parents tell you a lot. It's hard being ignorant. Well, friends, Jesus, in his humanity, had things he did not know. He tells us explicitly of one of them in Matthew 24:36. All this to say that Jesus was really tempted as we are, yet without sin. And that Jesus had a human mind means something of our understanding of how we are saved, of our own humanity. Jesus became a man to save men, to save mankind, to save persons like you and me. Jesus was restored, was raised bodily, showing that he will save even our bodies. Our bodies are not going to remain in the grave, even though we grow weak and weary, even though these bodies will someday die. They're not going to remain, they're not going to be given over to corruption because Jesus was raised in his body. And so add this detail we find in this passage. Jesus had a human mind. He thought, he pondered. And that means both that our thinking needs to be redeemed and that for Christians it will be redeemed. Jesus took on a human mind that you might have the mind of Christ, that we might think God's thoughts after him, that we might repent of believing lies and know the truth. And so friends, don't believe the lie that your mind is destined for the gutter. Christ had a human mind, so that your mind, as well as mine, could be saved. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature. And these statements bookend the story. We'll be focusing on this story of the boy Jesus going up to the Passover. And so let's see first in the story that Jesus had to be in his Father's house. A little note on the word parents here. It's found in verses 41 and 43 and 48 earlier, as well as verse 27. I didn't mention it when I preached that passage. This reference is to Joseph and Mary, and it's not contradicting that Jesus was born of the Virgin and that he was not a natural son of Joseph. But it is to say that Jesus was legally Joseph's son. Joseph was the earthly father of Jesus, not in a biological sense. And that's not a contradiction to the fact that Jesus is God's son, but the priority of these fathers must be made clear. And in fact, that's what this passage itself does for us. It shows what's the relation of these two fathers that Jesus had, one earthly and legal, the other divine and also perfectly real. He really was the Son of God. Now, given as much detail as Luke has already given to show that Joseph and Mary followed all the religious customs, Jesus' circumcision, Mary's purification offering, we looked at those last week, it follows then that they also kept the Passover. Passover was the most important of the feasts that God's people were to annually go up for. It's so named because it commemorated when God sent the last plague on Egypt's firstborns. The angel of death went to every household, but for those who had sacrificed a lamb and painted its blood on their doorposts, their homes were passed over, hence the Passover. This was the first of three annual feasts that God commanded that all Israelite men come to Jerusalem to attend. Remember, Jesus was crucified around the feast, will be crucified around the feast of Passover later in this gospel. And yet before he did, he gave a new celebration of it to his disciples. He gave them bread and wine and spoke of his body and blood being given for us. We continue to do this in remembrance of him. In fact, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper next week, Lord willing, if indeed the Lord does not return prior. So in several ways, it is unsurprising that Jesus and his family would go up to celebrate Passover, to celebrate this feast. But the surprise comes when the family leaves and Jesus stays there. From the perspective of family expectation, Jesus should have known it's time to go home. Everyone else knew and expected him to leave with them, but Jesus stayed. And even before we hear his words, that action tells us something. Jesus delighted in being in God's house. Jesus, a young boy of 12, loved to be with God. Children, consider this as well. You know, there's a terrible lie that's going around. Some people believe it. It is the lie that worship and prayer and praise, that all the church stuff is for old people. But Jesus shows us it's for all people of all ages. Jesus said, we'll say later, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. That means God cares about your heart before him, even as a young, or if you're an old person as well, he cares about your heart today. God knows if it is just your body that is here. He knows if your mind is 1,000 miles away, and he wants you to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus loved to be in God's house, such that when everyone else left, he stayed. Now, that was the unexpected by his earthly parents. It's unexpected by us, I think. And it causes us to think about Jesus in deeper ways. Jesus sometimes did things that we don't expect. It's a reminder that his values don't align with our values, but rather we're putting it backward. We need to evaluate our concerns, our values, by him. He, even at 12 years old, even as a boy that is growing in knowledge, he is morally upright. He is perfectly righteous. Though we were born with a sinful nature, he was not. And therefore, if he so loved God's house, it begs the question, do we? And if not, why not? Now, when his parents find him, and apparently while they're looking for... When his parents find him, and apparently while they're looking for him, what was Jesus doing? Well, he was among the teachers. Jesus was among the teachers. Verse 46, Jesus was in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Now, this is how rabbis taught at that time. It's kind of backwards to the way that we set up classrooms today. Rather, they would sit and the students would stand around them asking questions. And this was the format for learning from a rabbi. And yet somehow Jesus is right there among them. He's sitting with them. He's participating in that. Now, one thing that we see is he's asking questions. Now, that tells us that Jesus, again, thinking of him having a human mind, he had to learn in similar ways as we do. He had to ask questions. Think about it. Jesus didn't have a computer or a tablet or a phone. And by the way, you can't just search into Google and it always give you the right answer. You just can't trust even these things that we have today. Jesus, given the many indications of the poverty of his family, he almost certainly didn't have a printed copy of the Bible. And so where did he go for truth? He had to learn the Bible. He had to put in the effort to learn it himself. And not having a copy of it, not having it at fingertip, or even as an app on our phone as we do today, Jesus would need to then listen to the Word of God when it was read, whether that was at weekly at synagogue or on these trips to the temple in Jerusalem. He would have to seek out those who knew the truth. He would have to seek out the wise. He would have to take effort to remember and recall the sermon. Friends, all things which dignify these things. As we do them. Because Jesus had to pay attention. Jesus had to recall and process. He had to make an effort to put into practice the things he learned. If Jesus had to work hard to learn, how much ought that to spur us on to love the Lord with all of our minds? But notice, by the time Jesus' parents come, Jesus is seated. Look at verse 47. He's giving answers that amazed his hearers because of his, even at 12, his depth of understanding. Now, us old people, let's do be honest. There are many situations in which young people are better learners than adults. They have better mental plasticity, is a term I've heard. Think of learning to ride a bike or how easily children can pick up new languages. It's almost like they're not even trying. So much easier, it seems, to come to them than we, whether they're parents or other adults. But can a 12-year-old really know better than a full-grown man? Well, he most certainly can, if he is Jesus Christ. Friends, this passage shows us, no matter our age, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. He is unlike all others. He doesn't have that sin problem that is ours and every other human's. He loved God with all his heart. And that means we need to learn from him still, even today. I think about his lifetime. Jesus died before his mid-30s, and that's young. Jesus died younger than I am today, and I have so much to learn from the things he said even while he was yet 30. And yet, how old is Jesus today? Jesus is more than 2,000 years old. He has only grown in wisdom and favor with God as a man. He remains human even today, resurrected Lord Jesus. All that to say that you, friend, you would do well to learn from Jesus. That's all of us, including the man preaching to you. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 23:8-10, connecting what we've seen with Jesus' learning from the rabbis and Jesus' love to be with his heavenly Father. He said, "But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ." Now, friends, this means, as we're going through this series of Luke's Gospel, as we're coming each Lord's Day to hear the Word preached, we need to come to hear Jesus, because we need to be taught by him. Jesus is the teacher. We are all the learners. And that means the very best that any of us can do is to point one another to him, to say, "Follow me as I follow Christ. Set your eyes, dear ones, on Jesus." Now, lastly, in this passage, let's return to Jesus' earthly parents. And we see here that Mary and Joseph did not understand. Mary and Joseph did not understand. I think many of the parents in this room would resonate with them. Mary says, "Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." But that's the thing that Mary has, for the moment, forgotten. Who is Jesus' father? Not just his earthly, not just his legal father. What about God? God was not searching for Jesus. No, we're told in the bookends of this passage, God's favor was upon Jesus. He was looking with joy at his son who loved him, loved his word, loved his house with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus' father will soon say, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." But Mary and Joseph aren't focused on that. They're focused on their own plight, and this is how it may have happened. In that culture, men often spent time with men. Women and children had a separate space, even while traveling. And so Jesus is age 12. He's at the age of transition. Joseph would presume if he's not with the men, he must be with the other boys in his age and younger. But Mary may have presumed he's with Joseph. He's not with the boys because he's finally with a man, with Joseph. And so they travel a day without either noticing that Jesus wasn't with either one of them. And let's be honest, parents, as dreadful the thought, this is kind of easy to do. And when they make the discovery, they have to retrace their journey, a day's journey back. And when they get to Jerusalem, they spend a third day searching the city. Where is Jesus? Where could he be? We as parents certainly can resonate with them. "We've been searching for you in great distress." Now, Luke uses this word distress later to speak of the rich man who is in anguish. "We've been in anguish looking for you, Jesus." And yet Jesus had not sinned. Jesus had done no wrong. He was not being a naughty or thoughtless child. But rather, he was obeying his heavenly Father. And here's a reminder that obedience to God will be misinterpreted by others, even those that have authority over us. Parents, be cautious with disciplining your children. Are they really disobeying God? Or are they just not meeting your expectations? What Jesus did here was not sin. In fact, if it was sin, then Jesus could not save us. He could not be a Savior if he had one sin, even at 12. No, this was obedience to God. Now, children, this means that there will be times that your parents will misunderstand why you are doing what you're doing. They may even speak to you harshly when you haven't done anything wrong. I want you to remember Jesus at that moment, kids, because Jesus knows what that's like. If you're truly doing what you're doing in obedience to God, you don't need to carry a guilty conscience. Although, don't take that as a blank check. Jesus upset his parents, so it's no big deal if I upset my parents. Well, no. Are you doing the same? Are you really seeking to obey God? And notice again, verse 51, Jesus didn't just go down to Nazareth embittered. No, it says here he was submissive to them. That is, Jesus kept the commandments. He said, he honored his father and mother. He obeyed his parents, even though they were imperfect. Friends, this can be the hardest thing to do. But to be honest, Jesus had it much harder than you or I do. For while parents, your parents and his parents are sinful, he is different than us. He was not a sinner as we are. So every time they lost their temper, Jesus didn't deserve it, even though many times we, to be honest, we do. Each of us have sinned, and in truth, we deserve far worse. Jesus' answer to them, then, notice it, it is a question and a slight rebuke. The question is, why were you looking for him? Well, that's kind of a funny question, Jesus. Of course we're looking for you because we didn't know where you were, but they should have known, is what he says. That third day of looking all through Jerusalem would have been saved. In fact, they should have never even left Jerusalem because they should have known this. This is why Jesus was such a puzzle, not only to his earthly parents, but later to the Pharisees and religious elites. If they knew the Father better, then they would better predict the Son. Same for us. If we but knew the Father, we would see in Jesus what the Father's will is. The reason why Jesus surprises us again and again is that we do not know the Father as we should. But then the reverse is true. If we then keep our eyes on Jesus, if we will learn from him, then we will know the Father. Mary and Joseph did not understand. But we're told Mary treasured these things in her heart. Luke has dropped several details like that, whether things spoken only to Mary or things going on internally in Mary's thought processes. And that leads many to believe that Mary must have been one of Luke's sources. He's writing these things that we might have certainty. And all the more reason, if Mary was one of those sources, that we should have certainty regarding these things. Mary's honest, she didn't understand, but she pondered them in her heart. And so should we. Let's think about this. Think about this Jesus that surprises us, that says that you should have, why were you searching for me? You should have known I would be in my Father's house. Friends, we should treasure these things that Jesus has said and done in our hearts. No matter our age, we can learn from him. Because there's another event in Jesus' life that echoes many of the details here. Jesus in Jerusalem, him gone for 3 days, those who loved him in anguish. And the question and slight rebuke comes at the end. Just like Jesus gives a question and a slight rebuke here, the angel says, why were you looking for me? Did you not know? Consider the words of the angel at the empty tomb. Similar question, similar rebuke. Luke 24, 5 and 6, why did you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen just as he said. Friends, they should have known, because they should have looked to this Jesus and learned from him. Friends, this is what Jesus told his disciples, but they did not understand. They're like Mary and Joseph. This is what we are so often slow to understand. If only we knew the Father. Jesus took on our nature, all of our nature, except that he never sinned. And then he went to the cross and he died as if he were a sinner. He died in place of sinners like you and me. And yes, that means that his human mind was dead. His brain waves ceased. He stopped thinking in his physical capacity. His human spirit and body were for a time separated as death does. But he is not here, as he said. He rose again, that all who repent of their sins and believe in him might have eternal life, that he might redeem us, that he might even give us the mind of Christ. So the call then, as we see Jesus even at a young age, even at 12, is to learn from him. And so may we all, each of us, increase in wisdom and understanding of Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing such precious things about your Son. Jesus is not one who is far off from us, or one who knows nothing of our nature or what it's like to go through the trials that children go through. Lord, you knew these things as one of us. You endured these things to save us. Lord, how great this is, how glorious it is. And indeed, this is how we know you, the Father. And so, Lord, teach us from the Lord Jesus. Lord, give us faith to believe. Lord, strengthen us, Lord, that we would not believe the imitation, that we would not follow the worldly philosophies and ideas of mere men, but, Lord, that we would know you, the true God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Increase our wisdom. Even as we pray that you would grow us in stature. Lord, conform us to Jesus, and in him grant us your favor. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.